Hey everybody, so Brad here. Just wanted to say a quick apology for the sound quality. My sound quality, the guest's sound quality was stellar. He was, very, very good. My sound quality, however, on the other hand, was not great. Why? Because I was just hanging out in the Seychelles, Mahi and Praslin over there, East Africa, you know, diving in the coral islands and stuff like that. Super awesome. I rode an Aldabra tortoise for a little bit there. But yeah, so when I go to the Seychelles, I told James, like, pack my mic. Did he do it? No. So here I am in the Seychelles. Amazon, for some God unknown reason, does not do same day delivery to the Seychelles. They really need to get their act together. Anyway, so I apologize, but really it should be James apologizing for the fact that my microphone is not the world class quality that you guys have come to expect from this world class podcast that is The Brad Johnson Show, which is the podcast that I do, my podcast. So James says sorry, and let's get on with the show.
The Brad Johnson Show.
I'm turning losers like you into winners like me.
You're about to enter the winning zone.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Brad Johnson Show. It has been a minute since I have put together a podcast for you, but I could not help myself. I had to come back, bring you another amazing guest because, hey, I'm me, and that's what I do, is bring you awesome stuff, mostly for me, but then I bring along other people to kind of be my little sort of sidekick. It's the Batman and Robin type of thing, but definitely the cool Batman. So kind of, the big hulking one. I can't remember his name. But anyway, today I've got on the show somebody who is an amazing speaker. He's all about maximizing your potential, which to me is so cool because, like, if you just look at me, you know that I've done that with my life. So it's so cool to just bring somebody on to kind of reinforce that for you people. You know, I know my audience. I know you guys need help, and that's what I'm here for, to get you out of the loserliness, and I'm going to do that today with my good friend, Mr. Jamie Belcher. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Brad, I appreciate you having me on the show. Thanks so much. And my last name is actually Beckler.
Oh.
It's actually Beckler. I don't normally correct people, but I feel like I probably need to correct you. It might not be the first time I've done that, but we'll do that. But it's actually Beckler. But my first name is actually spelled different than most Jamies, and my last name is pronounced differently than it looks. So people always mess up my name.
Well, you know, Jamie, I think that is perfect timing for me to go ahead and fire one of my VAs who did the prep for this episode. I don't really do any prep for my episode, so totally outsourced, which usually works okay, but they are fired out the door. But I will say that's a great talking point, and I want to just camp on that for a minute, just put our tent stakes in the ground, make a little campfire, get some s'mores going here, and talk about memorableness as far as when you're introducing yourself. So, I mean, you're out there, Jamie, you're speaking to crowds, and somebody calls you Bechler or Belcher or whatever it may be, like, you got to correct them on that. And how just unique and, like, memorable is that? Have you seen that in your experience so far?
Yeah, it happens. It happens frequently because, like I said, my last name, it looks like Bechler. Most people say Belcher, but it's actually Beckler. Yeah. With a 100K. And so it gets messed up all the time. But, you know, most of the time, if I respect the person, if I respect the conference, the place I'm at, I don't correct them. We just try to move on.
Gotcha. Well, I would just use that for just kind of a business opportunity. Like, you could kind of make them feel bad about it, and then all of a sudden there's like that law of reciprocity going on there. So that would be my take on that. So, Jamie, let's just talk a little bit about you. I mean, obviously, I think most people would prefer that I just talk about me, but you being on the show, I think it's probably appropriate for us to spend at least a little time on you. So, man, athletic director, college basketball coach, executive business trainer. My goodness, those three things are not the same things. They're three different things. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, well, I was I grew up playing all the sports possible, pretty much. Pretty much.
Water polo?
I did play some water polo.
Cricket?
When I got to college.
Huh?
No.
No cricket.
Never played cricket. No.
Nope. Man, you're missing out. I'm telling you.
Most of the sports.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Carry on.
Yeah. So I was playing most of the sports because I grew up before the iPhone. I grew up, you know, my parents pretty much, I think it was high school when we actually got a color TV. So we had like three channels and PBS. one of those kind of things. So, you know, way back, in the day. Yeah. But, so we had to do something, to stay out of trouble. We didn't have entertainment. So we played sports, and then I love sports, knew I wasn't going to be a professional athlete, and I eventually became a college basketball coach. And for about 20 years, I was a college basketball coach. Then I was an athletic director at a high school with the fifth largest gymnasium in the world for high school, seated over 7,000 people. Wow. Nobody's won more state titles in basketball than the school I was at in Indiana. So we all know Hoosiers and that kind of stuff. So that was fun as a basketball guy, being a coach at an AD at a school like that. And then last 4 years, I've been an entrepreneur. So depending on the day, I'm self-employed or I'm unemployed, depending on the day.
I love it. I love it. So athletic director, and like, man, you're just speaking my language when you talk about giant schools winning state championships and stuff. Like, that's all. I'm so about that. Hashtag win. Hashtag win at all costs type of thing. So with athletic directoring, as you do that, tell the audience a little bit about what that looks. Obviously, I know what that job looks like. I've pretty much done it just kind of on a volunteer basis. But you know, tell us a little bit about what being an athletic director, because I'm kind of envisioning, you know, just directing the athleticness of people around you. How does that work?
Yeah, you're juggling a lot of balls at the same time. You're wearing a lot of hats, and it varies at depending on what school you're at. Mm-hmm. But you know, you're coaching coaches, you're leading leaders. You're also helping make sure that the culture is good, and then you're also doing those things that nobody likes. You're making sure that the blue Gatorade doesn't run out in the concession stand, and you're sweeping floors, and you're making sure that the uniforms are ordered and the equipment's ordered properly. So you're doing all that stuff that's not fun, the behind the scenes stuff. But yeah, you're just trying to make the experience better for student athletes. You know, they're our future. You know, I don't know if you've heard this before, but children are our future. Treat them well and watch them lead the way. And so that's what you do as an athletic director.
Yeah, I'd say more that Bitcoin is our future. But going back to wearing multiple hats, I don't understand. Like, how does that work? Are we talking a beanie and then a baseball cap? I'm just trying to imagine like the setup there and the practicality. And also the fashion statement. I think there's a man. Anyway, but back to the blue Gatorade as well. I would highly recommend moving on to something more like matcha for your sports drink of choice. That is definitely the one that I go with. And just as far as performance enhancement drugs go, that is still legal. So I would recommend going there. But so
they're a proud partner of your show.
I do. I am working on some of that. So some of the biggest brand names are kind of competing right now, you know, for sponsorship and stuff. So I'm kind of letting them duke it out a little bit. We'll see who comes up with the best offer there as far as matcha goes. Because, yeah, I'm telling you, that is the stuff. Okay, Janie, so you are an author as well. And that is just so cool because it just kind of opens the door for me to talk about some of my books. You know, I have so many books. Winning is the Way and The Way of Winning are two of my favorites that I've written recently. I love just pumping out books. So tell me about your process of writing. Like, how'd you hire your ghostwriter? Let's get into some of the nitty gritty on that.
Well, I think it starts back when I was in seventh grade and I had an English teacher named Judy Shannon, and she was the bane of my existence as a student for so many years. And
was a name like Judy,
you know, it was actually Judith.
Oh,
that was her given name, was Judith, but she went by Judy, and she was everything. She was everything that we have nightmares about when it comes to the English teacher. She was the stereotypical English teacher that just scared you to death. Whoa. And you know, you're sitting in the classroom thinking, when am I ever going to use this stuff? When am I ever going to use this stuff? This is not needed. This is unnecessary. And then, you know, when you start writing your book, you're like, gosh, why didn't I not pay attention to Mrs. Shannon? I needed to be a better student so I could be a better writer, so I don't have to hire people to write stuff. You know, she, I remember in English class, we were, it was our last day or one of our last days in English class in high school. And we'd had her for a million years, it seems like. And she hands out this postcard with a stamp on it, before email, obviously. And she goes, I want you in a few years to send this back to me and tell me what you're doing. And I looked at her and I said, Mrs. Shannon, I will never, ever send you this postcard. And she goes, well, I kind of expected that, Jamie. Yeah. And so, But about 7 years later, I sent her the postcard and told her what I was doing and that she was right and that I was sorry for being a jerk in class sometimes. But, you know, she really had a huge impact on my life, whether I knew it or not. And I actually put her in the notes, or I acknowledged her, thanked her in my first book. Mm-hmm. And sent her a copy, an autographed copy, and she sent me a nice note, you know, saying essentially, not bad for somebody that said they hated English class and would never use this in life. So,
wow.
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, yeah. So what was your inspiration for winning at all costs book, or whatever book you wrote? You know, why did you feel the world needed that?
When I just look in the mirror and I see myself, I just know that the world doesn't have enough of that. And books, I look at as a way to multiply yourself, because I can hand somebody a book. I can't just hand them myself, because a lot of times, you know, that gets awkward. So what I do is just hand them a book instead. I often don't autograph, though, like you did for your teacher there. I just find that it often crashes, like eBay, because people try and resell and all that sort of thing. So I don't want to be on the hook for crashing eBay all the time. But as far as inspiration, it was just really just sharing my gift and myself with the world. So I think they've done a great job of really doing that. So let's talk about 100 ways to motivate employees. That was one of your books. And I just find so often that employees are And so what do you find is, like, if you could pull something out of that book that's like, give it to the people right now, they've got an employee that's just completely blowing it, what would you say to them?
Well, you actually just literally said it. Give it to the people. Give stuff to your people. Mm. Do stuff for your people. It's all about people. And that's what we forget sometimes. You know, we might even pay our people well, and we like, all right, well, we're doing what Jamie said. We're giving it to the people. Yeah, but nobody cares how much they're getting paid from 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. When they're getting out of bed in the morning, or I would even say before they're getting to that job, when they're rolling out of bed in the morning, they're driving to work and they're at work, they do not care if they're being paid more than they should be or less than they should be. None of that mm-hmm. matters.
Yeah.
They want to be treated well. You know, it's mm-hmm. only on vacations and weekends that they care how much they get paid, you know, but employers look at that too often and they're like, well, I'm paying them well, you know, they should love working here. And it's like, no, inspire them. You got to mm-hmm. inspire them. You got to give other stuff to the people.
Yeah.
And especially during the last year with COVID and stuff, you know, hopefully employers have seen that, man, they can do other stuff. They can work remotely. Let Brad work remotely. You know, Brad doesn't want to come into the office every single day. He wants to work in his, you know, boxers and wife beater t-shirt, behind
it.
A computer and stuff. Yeah. It's, that's what he wants to do at least once a day.
It is a goofy
or once a week, I should say.
Yeah, exactly. No, that is 100%. I love that. I love that. Give it to the people. And that's you mentioned inspiration. And that's something, one of the tricks that I learned early on is that when I bring somebody on, the first step that I have that I do is I just take their phone from them. I just go and automatically like follow myself on their Instagram, on their phone, and just boom. Like I find that having that as inspiration, just being able to see my Instagram, definitely turn it on notifications for anytime I go live and that type of thing, just makes a huge difference. Man, I love that. Jamie, that is good stuff. Now, the other thing that another book that you have, you have a lot of books, and I love that. I mean, you've got like 4, which, I mean, that is a great start. You're definitely, great start. Is the Leadership Playbook. Now, leadership, that's something that is, you know, different from the not doing leadership. So why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think most people have a misguided notion of leadership, in fact. You know, whether it's politics, business, whether it's our sports teams, in our family, it doesn't matter. I think we have a misguided notion of leadership in that it's a position or a status or a role or a title. Because I have this title or a business card, I'm the leader. And you might be the leader, but that doesn't mean you're not it doesn't mean that other people aren't a leader. And so everybody can be a leader, because influence, leadership is really just influence. It's one person influencing another, getting someone else to do something. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about being the leader. It's about being a leader in your community and your family, at your business. I mean, the two dudes around the water cooler at break time, they might not have big time titles. They might not have, you know, assistant to the regional manager type titles, but they can definitely be leaders, and influence each other to do what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think we miss out a lot of times. You know, a sporting event, Brad, you're a huge, huge sports fan, and you've been to big sporting events in stadiums and arenas and stuff. And there's, they always do the wave, and you never see with the wave that they're like, they come over the loudspeaker, or they do the jumbotron, and they say, all right, the wave is going to start in section 23, and then it's going to go to 24. No, it's because one drunk yahoo decides he wants to do the wave, and he gets his, you know, another drunk yahoo and another drunk yahoo, and before you know it, you got 80,000 yahoos doing the wave, and nobody knows if it started with the tallest, the shortest, the fattest, the skinniest, the cutest, you know, the ugliest, the richest, the poorest person in the stadium. They don't know that.
Yeah.
But it started with one person influencing another person who influenced another person. And that's leadership. Yeah. It's people leading by influencing others.
It's all about influence. Now, you got me thinking there, Jamie. What is the technical definition of a yahoo? That's one of the etymologies that I haven't looked up recently.
Great question. You know, when you put your email in for like your birthday at a restaurant or other things, newsletters you sign up for, like maybe your newsletter or a lead magnet or stuff. I always do my my yahoo.com email because it reminds me that it's probably spam, or it's probably some yahoo trying to so I use my yahoo.com email.
I love it. Okay, that is great. Okay, so influence. It's all about influence. Now, to me, I love the topic of influence. By BTW, anybody that is interested, I am opening up my influencer, one post, one shout out. It's currently going for around 10 grand, but I'm looking at raising that here soon. So if you want to get on that the Brad Johnson influence train, hit me up. Let me know. To you, Jamie, what can somebody do if they feel like they don't have influence? Like most of my listeners, you know, they're just, but if they were like, okay, I want to be more like Brad, I want to be, you know, a little bit more like Jamie, what does that look like, becoming more influential? Because, I mean, you're up on stages. Like, I am, like, up on the stages that are, you know, above the other stages and that type of thing. It's like, you got so much influence. It's kind of hard to talk to the little people about that sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a great question, Brad. And as you say, I mean, a lot of your audience is losers who want to be winners like you. And so, you know, it doesn't matter how low you are. It doesn't matter where your status lies, or where you fall on a flow chart, or, you know, where your authority is. Everybody can have influence. And your question is, well, how can you do that? Well, everybody has some associate or some friend. Everybody has somebody in their life. And it starts there. You know, you can't reach everybody, but you can reach somebody. You can't do everything, but you can do something. And so what are you going to do? And everybody can do something. And so, I mean, I interviewed on my podcast, Success is a Choice podcast. Encourage anybody to go listen to that. Download it on iTunes, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify,
nice.
SoundCloud.
Nice plug.
Success is a Choice podcast. But I had Bernard Robichaux, and people may or may not be familiar with him, but he's Cyrus on Trailer Park Boys, the bad guy on the Netflix hit Trailer Park Boys. Man, if you're somebody that only has like one or two friends, like essentially Cyrus was, but you can still influence people, and you can influence them good or bad. Now, Cyrus's character, you know, Bernie Robichaux's character, I mean, he influenced people negatively, but everybody out there, everybody listening to this show, all seven of you have somebody in your life that will listen to you, that respects you to some degree, and you get to choose whether or not you're going to influence them positively or negatively. And it could even be two of you are together. All right, where are we going to go eat? You know, what movie are we going to watch? Whatever it is, you're still influencing one another. It starts there. Don't worry about the big stages and the big masses of people. Just worry about that one person that is your boy, or that one person that's your friend.
Nice. I love it. That is, that is advice. Definitely. Okay, so let's talk podcasts here. So it sounds like you only have seven listeners to your podcast. So people, if you're listening to the Brad Johnson Show and you want to go check out another podcast that, you know, has audio, definitely go check out Jamie's podcast, Success is a Choice, which I love, because it's like you see these people failing and it's like, come on, people, just make the choice. You know, that's one of the things that I did besides being as awesome as I am, and just boom, like success happens. So of the guests, this is one of my favorite questions to ask people. You got a ton of guests on here. I'm just like scrolling through. I'm like, man, look at all these people. They all have faces. And tell me about like your favorite interview that you've done. It doesn't have to be the most successful or famous person that you've had on, but generally speaking, that is the case as far as favorites go. So what is like the one that you were like, wow, that was so cool?
Well, I appreciate your observation skills. We've had a number of guests that have faces.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate you noticing that.
Yeah.
You know, we've had some fun guests. Phil Hellmuth, the poker player, he was fun, the world champion poker player. And nice. I loved when he said that, you know, his wife is so lucky. I don't think she understands how lucky she is, because I've had supermodels and I've had all these hot women all these years throwing themselves at me, and I've never cheated on her once. So I don't think my wife understands how lucky she is. So, you know, that was a fun interview.
Nice.
You know, but we've had all different kinds of guests. You know, one week I think we had a pastor on, and then the next week we had a pussycat doll. And so we're all across the board. There's variety. There's something for everybody. You know, but we've had some great guests on. Nicole Arbor, who some of your audience might be familiar with, but she is a huge, huge influencer on Instagram, a major entertainer, controversial. But she speaks her mind, keeps it real. But she has amazing, funny videos. But we had her on the show, and that was fun. And then we have sports people on, you know. So we have all across the board. So it's been a great time getting to hear their story, because success leaves clues. And so, like you said, I mean, you said it, Brad. You can choose whether you want to be successful. You can also choose if you want to be a failure. You know, if you don't want to make good choices and have good habits, you can end up a failure and never end up reaching the goals, you know, that you want. You know, are your actions today on par with the goals that you want for tomorrow?
Yeah. Success leaves clues. I mean, that is one of the things that I have always said, and then you have all these people copying and stuff. It's kind of ridiculous. I tried to patent it, you know, trademark it, but what can you do? Anyway, as far as guests go, the poker player there, him and I'm pretty sure we bumped into each other. I think I beat him in a couple rounds of poker. And then you also had Alan Stein Jr. on, which Alan, great friend of the show. So people, if you enjoyed that episode of mine with Alan, you might also go check out Jamie's podcast. Success is a choice. Success leaves clues. People, go and check out Jamie. He has been so generous with his time, generous with just sharing all these little nuggets of wisdom with you. I want to leave you with a quote, Jamie, from your Twitter, actually, that is actually from Michael Jordan, the guy who, you know, played that sport. He said, every day in practice was like that to me. It was a competition. So when the game comes, there's nothing that I haven't already practiced. It's a routine. Whatever happens in the game now, okay, I've done that before. And to me, that quote right there just encapsulates so much of what I do as a person and just like making winning a routine. So, Jamie, thanks for coming on, just helping us highlight that. I was thrilled to have you on, thrilled that you made the time. So why don't you just tell the people where is the best place to find you online, and definitely, you know, check out the Success is the Choice podcast. But where else can people check out your stuff?
Yeah, if you're a twit, I'm on Twitter a lot at Coach Beckler, and that's Beckler, Coach Beckler on Twitter.
Belcher.
Not Belcher, okay. Not Betchler, even though it looks like Betchler, but it's Coach Beckler, Beckler on Twitter. My website is also coachbeckler.com, and they can check out the podcast there and all my other social media links and books and free articles and stuff like that if they want to be inspired. We try to keep it positive. My social media tries to stay positive. And we try to inspire people. You're not going to know who my favorite sports teams are, where I went to eat last night, who I voted for in an election. You're not going to know a lot of that stuff. We try to keep it positive and give you inspiration.
Yeah, there's nothing more depressing than seeing somebody eating at less than a 5-star restaurant. So definitely don't want to broadcast that. Jamie, thanks for coming on. People will check out his stuff. I will be putting links in the show notes to all this. Make sure you share it out. I mean, you as a listener to the show, I'm assuming just need help. And that's what I'm here for. That's what Jamie's here for. So let's get you the help that you need so you can stop being a loser, start winning like me, and also kind of like Jamie. Talk to you next time. Ciao.
You've just listened to an episode of Awesomeness. Now go out and spread the awesomeness and help others fix the mess that is their life, and help them stop being a loser and start winning in business, health, and their personal life by getting them to listen to The Brad Johnson Show. Book your face, tweet your tweets, and Insta your grams at Brad Johnson Show. The Brad Johnson Show, winners only.
When I was in school, I absolutely hated writing. It wasn't until I was a bit older that I came to understand the power of words. If you're a business owner, you understand that power too. A business blog, when done right, can drive sales, increase revenue, and get you more customers. But as a business owner, you probably don't have the time to do all that writing. Plus, if you're not a copywriter by trade, you might feel like you're just kind of throwing words out there and they're not actually accomplishing anything. The good news is, there's a simple solution. Check it out. I call it the ultimate blog post checklist for businesses with online stores. This checklist will allow you to write better, more effective articles that convert readers into buyers. It's full of easy-to-follow examples to get your creativity flowing based on experience of nearly a million words written, and best of all, it's effective on any type of article in any industry or niche. I've successfully used this exact checklist on topics from pool table reviews to investment advice. Tired of spending tons of time writing stuff that doesn't convert? This checklist will change that by giving you highly effective blog posts and articles that transform readers into paying customers. Go to invicta.enterprises/free checklist and start saving time and transforming your writing now. That's invicta.enterprises/free checklist.